Dear God, let's open in prayer tonight. We're looking at the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We desire truth. Truth to be in our hearts and that we may walk in the truth. And we ask that tonight you show us the truth through your Word in the name of Jesus. Tonight, we're looking at the topic, should women be allowed to minister in the church? And you would think that in today this wouldn't be a problem. In fact, it is not a problem biblically. Biblically, you'll see that, yes, women are allowed and should be allowed to minister in the church. However, there are whole denominations and whole groups, even Pentecostal groups, you should know better, that effectively do not allow women to minister at all in the church. And sadly, that halves your workforce. And if you want to accomplish things in the Lord, you have to have people who are called of God to do what God wants them to do and to obey that. And if people are in denominations that or groups that say no, women can't be allowed to minister in the church, then they can be very frustrated, and it's in fact wrong. But we're going to look at a few areas tonight. We can't look at the whole lot of this area, but we will look at a few areas and answer some questions and some doctrines that people bring up. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, because the very first thing we have to establish is God's order of authority. God's order of authority. And once we've established that, then it's quite easy to go from there to see why women can and should minister in the church. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and I just want to read this verse. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, it's very important for us to say this is the spiritual order. And so talking about the head of every man is Christ, it's talking about the spiritual body of Christ there. The head of every man, so you see man and above man is Christ in authority. And the head of the woman is the man. So this is the order that God has put in the church. The headship is there's the man under Christ and the woman in the authority structure is under the man. And you can see the head of Christ is God and God the Father. Now clearly this is not reflective of who's better than who. What it is reflective of is what the structure or order God has put. You see, God is a God of order, not a God of confusion. And so if he says this is the way it's to be ordered, this is the way it is to be, then that's what we should accept. And so I want you to just get into your mind right now that the head of the woman is the man. That doesn't mean every man is over every woman. It means that there is in the church a spiritual order where there is the headship of a man over a woman. Okay? And we'll see what that means in a little bit more detail in a minute. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. And this scripture that we're looking at in Acts chapter 2, it should tell us straight away, and especially to those who are Pentecostals, that both men and women can minister and that is prophesy and beyond that. in the church and in the Lord's working. Acts 2, 16 to 18. Let's have a look at this. 16 to 18. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, it's accepted generally, and it should, and it's biblically easily shown, that prophesying is a directed form of preaching or speaking, where God uses a person to speak what he wants to say. Now, that means that in preaching itself, you can have an element of prophecy, and you certainly would want that because you want God to be having his way. And in fact, there's some denominations that say that prophesying is preaching. Now, I don't believe that prophesying equals preaching, although preaching has elements of prophecy in it. Can you see what I'm saying? So you can have, for example, a prophetic word, a prophecy, and that can be in a congregation. And so straight away you know that both men and women can prophesy in the church. And that's ministering. That's ministering in that way. But you can see if prophesying is included in the preaching, and I believe that it's clear that it is part of preaching that there be a prophetic element, then you know that within the church, both men and women, sons and daughters, and as it says there, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And this applies particularly to the Pentecostal churches, so you would think that the Pentecostal churches would have no problems whatsoever with the sons and daughters prophesying, speaking, preaching, teaching, and so on. Have a look at Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. Just go forward a little bit in this. Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. Now here we see there was a minister, and the minister was Philip, the evangelist. And if he had any problems with women ministering, you would think it'd be illustrated in here, but it's not. Verse 8 says, "And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." And you can easily see from here that the daughters that were prophesying weren't just prophesying to no one, were they? It was known that they were daughters of Philip the evangelist, and these daughters were known to prophesy. How did they know that they were prophesying? Well, obviously they were prophesying to people and in a congregation. So when we come to a scripture, which we'll read a bit later about women and silence in church, and being silent in church, we'll see what that means. It can't be all women at all times, everywhere, silent or should be silent in church. And we'll see why when we come to that scripture. What we see here is that prophesying was certainly part of the New Testament church. And when the church started, in the New Testament, and the day of Pentecost, of course, there's the Old Testament church, but when the church on the day of Pentecost was filled with the Spirit, then we know that the sons and the daughters prophesied. You know, in the upper room, there weren't just men, were there? There were also women as well. And so it was both the men and the women were all speaking in tongues. They were all also prophesying. So you'll see that this type of thing, prophesying and speaking God's word and so on, is not done in isolation, but in a congregational setting and to people themselves, people that need ministering, people that need ministering. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and we'll just go a couple of verses past that as well. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. So in the order of the church, then you can see that there would be, for example, in a church, there would be eldership, there would be pastor, and that pastor is under Christ. And if there are women ministering, then they would be under the man in the church setting. But, and you can see there straight away that you can have both men and women ministering, and there is a headship, there is an authority structure. And looking at 1 Corinthians, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, start from verse 3 again. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man prophesying, praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoureth his head. We're not going to talk about what that means, but just look at what it says there in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, so men can pray or prophesy. And then verse 5, we'll read all of verse 5, but we want to concentrate on the first part of verse 5. But every man that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoureth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. If you look at the first part of verse 5, it says, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth. So we automatically know that women can pray and prophesy. And of course, once again, this is according to the headship structure, and praying and prophesying is definitely in a church or congregational setting. And just as if a man was praying or prophesying, you can see also a woman can pray or prophesy, it says here. It doesn't say that women can't pray or prophesy. Now, if we go across to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 33 to 35, now this is a scripture that's often used by some people to say that women should not be allowed to minister in the church. And you need to read the scripture properly, and you'll see that it certainly doesn't say that. It doesn't say that all women everywhere at all times in all churches should not be allowed to minister in the church. 1 Corinthians 14, let's look from verse 33 to 35. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So it establishes right there that God is a God of order. And that's why he's put this structure, the headship type structure. And you can see here, let's continue. We'll start from verse 33 again. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Okay, so for a start off, the women that he's talking about are women that are married, because it says in verse 35 that them ask their husbands at home. And then he talks about they're commanded to be under obedience in verse 34, as also saith the law. And the Bible says clearly about the woman's, the wife submitting to the husband. Now, we haven't got time to go into detail about that doctrine, about submission and so on. But once again, there is a headship. There is a headship. And in a marriage, it is the headship is the man is the head, and as we read before, and the woman is under that headship. And so you can see that in this particular case, in the Corinthian church, and indeed if you look right through 1 Corinthians 14, you'll see that there was a lot of problems which needed to be addressed about lack of order and confusion. And you can see in this case, he's talking about, in verse 34, your women. Your women. So that word your is very important, isn't it? Because he's talking about your women. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So obviously there was some problem in this church where the women were not, as the law was saying, God's law was saying, they were not obedient to their husbands. Obviously they were going out of the order that God had set, and because of that, he's saying your women have to keep silence in the churches. And this is very important, because if a woman goes out of that headship that God has, that order that God has established, are they demonstrating that God is a God of order, or are they demonstrating that God is a God of confusion? You see, you have to have the right order, because if you have the right order, then you're demonstrating that God is not the author of confusion, but that God is a God of order and structure. And as you realise, if God is a God of order and structure, he's also the God that lays down foundations properly, and that foundation, when it's laid, you can build on that foundation and so on. So this is important for us to see. If you understand structure, if you understand order, and you understand God's nature, that he's not the author of confusion, then you'll see that this scripture here is not saying all women in all churches should keep silence and never preach, teach, prophesy, pray in churches. Clearly, you get the order right, you can definitely have women who are called of God doing all those types of things, praying, prophesying, preaching, etc. Now we'll look at another scripture a bit later which people use against or try to say, well, that shows that women aren't allowed to minister in the church. Let's have a look at Luke 2, verses 36 to 38. Luke 2, 36 to 38, we see here a woman who is in the temple, and it's very interesting that she was allowed to speak in the temple. We can take this as but one example, and if there are women that have a calling, then who gave them that calling? Who gave them the gift? Because no one can get up and speak or preach or teach or prophesy or pray. They cannot do it effectively unless the Lord is helping them and guiding them and strengthening them and giving them the very ability to do that. And Luke 2, 36 to 38, That's what it says here. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. Notice, departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So you can see here, she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So keep this in mind. Let's continue on. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks. Where did she come into? She came into the temple, right? And obviously what she's saying, people can hear, so, and it's obviously recorded here as well. Gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she was clearly speaking the word of God, and spake of Christ to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, obviously, in today's society, people also need redemption, don't they? And if both men and women are called of God to speak of him, of Christ, for people's redemption, then that's what should be allowed. And there's no doubt that we have, as I've said before, biblical examples that go through that. Look at Galatians 3, 26 to 28. Now here we see that the work that Christ has done to put us into the body of Christ has been an effective work that has put us all together as a working body. Put us all together so we're members one of another and we all work together. And so actually we'll look at we'll start from verse 26 and we'll go down to verse 28 of Galatians 3 here. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How do you become a child of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, that's the born-again experience. You've been baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, and you put on Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And so we see here, and I just want to look at this part here, there is neither male nor female. So you might say, well what about the scripture that talks about the head of the woman is the man? Well, you see, in the context of the body, there's neither male nor female. God looks on us all as part of the body that needs to work in the body. In the context of structure, God has said this is the way it's going to be ordered. This is the way it's going to be structured. And you'll notice that when Jesus was on earth, Jesus submitted fully to the Father and still does submit fully to the Father. And it's the same type of thing. In the church, obviously the pastor should submit fully to the to Christ, just as Christ is our example. And within the church structure, the woman should submit also to the headship of men in the church. Now, that shows us that you can have women doing all types of ministry as long as there is that headship that the Lord has established in the church and for the structure that we've been talking about. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 verse 19, and we'll look now at an example of a ministry team. And you could see in this ministry team that it's a husband and wife ministry team, and clearly they both ministered, and in their ministering obviously they would have submitted to the order. And this is Priscilla and Aquila, and so we're looking at 1 Corinthians 16 verse 19, and notice what it says here in this scripture. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And we'll see in a minute that they both ministered, and they were clearly running the church that was in their house as co-ministers. Now, if we take the structure, obviously we know that Priscilla was in submission to Aquila, and that's fine. It wasn't, Priscilla's a woman, so therefore she cannot minister or be a minister or prophesy or pray or teach or preach. It wasn't like that at all. It was they submitted to the structure. They said this is the way it is, and we can minister together. And if you look at Romans 16 1 to 7, you'll see that several women are mentioned here. Romans 16 1 to 7, and also Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned as well. In Romans 16, starting from verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Okay? Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Ephanetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labour on us. Salute Adronicus and Junior, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. So you can see Paul acknowledged the help of women, and there's several of them in this, including Priscilla. The help of women in the churches, and that would have included, and we'll see in a minute an example of what Priscilla did, that would have included expounding the Word of God, teaching the Word of God to the churches, helping the Word of God go forth in the churches, and so on. It's important for us to see this, because we want to have the right order. Have a look at Acts 18, 24 to 26. Acts 18, 24 to 26. And we see here, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And so you can see here that both Aquila and Priscilla expounded the way of God, the word of God, to Apollos here, who obviously was a man. So it's obvious that women can preach and teach as they did here, and they ran a church, and this is one example. So, as I said before, you've got to see that there is a structure, and the Lord has laid down that structure, and as long as that structure is followed, there's not a problem. So, you know, the statement I make now is, I would have difficulty, in fact, I would call it unbiblical, if there was just a woman by herself as a pastor over a church. But a woman who has the headship of man according to the structure, that's not a problem. For example, a husband and wife team, that's not a problem. Or a woman who is submitting to a senior pastor, that's not a problem. So you can see, as long as the structure is in place and that is followed, then we are all male. There's neither male nor female in Christ, because we are all joined together, put into that body, and now we can work together and we follow that structure that the Lord has put down. Look at 1 Timothy 2 verses 11 and 12, and we'll finish with this. This is a scripture that some people use, and they try to take this scripture and say, well, see, women shouldn't be preaching or teaching in the church. And obviously, as I said before, if people go outside of the structure, then yes, you would have to say that they shouldn't be teaching or preaching. And in fact, you know, you can have men in rebellion and go outside of the structure. And if they do that, then they shouldn't be preaching or teaching either. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So it's very clear that women are not to usurp authority over the man. Why? Because God has put the structure. And if you have the structure in place, then of course women are allowed to minister in church. And there has to be a learning. And you could say that of men too. Let men learn in silence with all subjection too. Because frankly, there's a lot of people who haven't learnt much and should be learning before they even open their mouths. And that's including men and women. So if a woman is going to teach, but they're usurping authority, that's going to be a problem. Or if they're coming out of the structure that the Lord has laid down, that would be a problem. But as we've seen, there's many examples, and the Lord says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And we know very clearly, we've seen the scriptures about Anna the prophetess, and the list of people in Romans 16, and Priscilla and Aquila. I think we've got to come to the conclusion that, of course, women who are called of God should indeed be allowed to minister in the church. And it's a sad thing that there's whole groups within the church who have shut down even allowing women to express ministry, because they have certain doctrines against that. And Pentecostals should be people that are far more enlightened, in that they have the Word of God, and if you're a faith Christian, you should understand that the Word of God is going to grow in both men and women's hearts. And as they are called and follow that structure, then there shouldn't be any problem. I mean, there are historical examples of women who have gone right out of the structure, and it's been a disaster. But there's many examples too of women who have stayed within that structure and there's no problems whatsoever. It's been a great thing. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown us through your word the good things of truth and the way to do things. We thank you, Lord, you are not a God of confusion. You're not the author of confusion. You're the author of peace. And we pray peace for this church and for the people of God here. And Lord, we right now determine in our hearts that there is going to be a release of ministry, men and women, through this church. In Jesus' name, amen.